everyone. Welcome to Live Greatly. I'm your host, Crystal Bauer, and I'm so excited to be here today sharing some wonderful information with all of you. The goal of this podcast is to provide information to help you achieve optimal health in mind, body, and spirit to attain success. As background, I'm a speaker on multiple wellness topics, including optimizing mental health, managing stress, and building resilience. I'm a lecturer at the university level and also an adjunct PBL facilitator for Northwestern's Physician Assistant Program. I'm a fellow in the Andrew Weil Integrative Medicine Fellowship through the University of Arizona. I'm a physician assistant with a history of working in integrative psychiatry and functional medicine. And I'm also a Reiki master with a very strong interest in spirituality and how it affects your overall well-being. Now for a quick disclaimer, all the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author and not intended to provide medical advice or treatment recommendations. The contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only, and always seek the guidance of your physician or other qualified health professional when you have any questions regarding your specific health, changes to diet and exercise, or any medical conditions. And before taking any medications, including any over-the-counter drugs, supplements, vitamins, and herbs, you should consult a physician or qualified healthcare professional. So now let's jump into the topic for today's podcast. And today I'm very lucky to have an amazing guest, Tony Pashos. And Tony's a friend and an old classmate from my time at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. He played in the NFL for 11 years, spending time with the Baltimore Ravens, the Jacksonville Jaguars, San Francisco 49ers, Cleveland Browns, and the Oakland Raiders. And after leaving the NFL, Tony redefined his career and recently graduated from Northwestern's Pritzker School of Law, and during his time in law school, he also interned at the White House. And Tony's also husband to one of my closest friends and is a father of three wonderful children. So welcome, Tony, and thank you so much for being on my podcast today.
Thank you, Crystal. Great being here.
So I wanted to start out by talking to you about what drove you to get into football.
What drove me to get there? Honestly, it was like a little bit of chance. My parents, they were nervous about the injuries that they saw in football. And, you know, they immigrated here from Greece, so it wasn't really, football wasn't like a European or Greek cultural thing. So it was new to them. And all they knew was that they hit and you're going to get injured. And it's ironic, right? I'm the biggest guy and they're worried about their, but, you know, in my parents' eyes, I'm their little baby. So they were nervous about me getting hurt. But the coaches and people at Lockport High School, they were, they intrigued me. I guess they sparked me because they said, that I should come out and play and I would do well and whatnot. But I also could earn myself a scholarship to go to college. And that was goal number one in my house and my family was my parents came here for us to have better chances and opportunities. And, you know, my coaches said this, it is possible. They put the confidence into me. They saw something in me that said I could get to where I wanted to go with football. And then when I joined and everything, it lined up with all the values that I have and I fell in love with it.
That's awesome. You know, you talked a little bit about your coaches and the support that they gave you along the way. And I'm just curious, do you feel like they contributed to your drive and passion for this sport? Or is there something specific looking back that you feel like helped you have the dedication that it took to achieve your success?
100%. I think coaches, I don't think you could do anything successful on your own. I really don't think. I don't care if it's football or going to school or anything. I think you need like some advice, a mentor, but more importantly with coaching, especially in teaching also, teaching a young person, I was like, maybe a lot of times you just need somebody that believes in you. Because there's so many people like how many people out here or coaches have ever coached an NFL player or ever coached a college player or coached a scholarship guy. So like just having coaches in my school that said, you know, instead of what you do here is like, no way, the NFL is impossible. There was somebody who said, if you work hard and if you listen to me, this can happen to you because you already have this talent. I don't care how slow you are now or how bad you are at football. But they motivated me. Yeah, you need coaches. I give them more. I don't think I could do something as hard or as painful as football if I didn't have a purpose or a drive or a team to fight for or somebody else in my corner. I can't do the individual sports. Mm-hmm. I think I could only do team sports. So for me, I really need that team aspect. I think I did as well as I did in football because I wanted to do right by my coaches and my teammates more than I did more than I enjoyed knocking myself out.
So it sounds like you had some really great mentors and support to help you get to where you are today. Looking back when you were playing football, I'm curious what you did to prepare mentally for your games.
Mentally?
Mm-hmm, mentally.
I think the best way you could prepare mentally for, I'll use my NFL career. Because preparing mentally and preparing in any manner is you're gaining confidence that you could do it, that you could walk into the arena and do it. And part of that is that I evaluated film and the person I was going against, I wanted to know everything about their tendencies. Like, so I used to watch so much film on my guy that I knew what he was going to do before he did, or I could bank on it. And I reacted to that and I had confidence in it. I wouldn't wait to see. I just felt like mentally I had the confidence because I put in the time, I studied, and I saw his right hand up, and he only pinches inside when his right hand's up, and I just went inside and I look like a genius. But it's all there. It's all like you have to do the hard work, I think, and the hard work will build your confidence. For instance, just now when I took the bar, it's daunting at first, but by the end, wow, you really know every area of law, and you know all the little details and everything. How do you get that way? That's mental strength too, right? I gained a mental confidence of walking into a test, and you know, whether you pass or fail, is to take it. Week one, you're like, what is going on? But I think mental, the like, to prepare mentally for that exam or a game was the same thing. Start small. Don't bite off more than you can chew. There's only so much you can do in a day. I think I took it that way too. I didn't try to beat the greatest player ever. I tried to beat the guy I was really going against, strip him down. I don't care what team, how many rings he won. Who is this person really? And I gained confidence that way, or mental strength, or I gained a mentality to have an edge over him. And football is a big mental game. All sports are. Mm-hmm. It's 100% physical and 100% mental. So there's plenty of guys that come through there, unfortunately, that they don't have the mental. Because I think the mental, I was trained right at Lockport by coaches that taught me that the hard work in the off seasons or during the week will win the game for me mentally. And I felt the same way when in law school or the bar as well. Everything. I think it transfers over in every aspect of life, really. Like the hard work will gain the confidence, the experience that you need.
That was going to be one of my questions. I think you answered it. It was, do you feel like someone who doesn't have as much physical talent could be successful if they are mentally prepared and dedicated? Or do you feel like it's mostly, you know, the physical aspect of it? But I feel like you kind of answered that, you know, a little bit of a combination of both. But anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of parents, like, or people you run into that say this player would have a chance to go to college if he wasn't so tall. Or if he was a little taller, I'm sorry. Same with, like, he'd go pro if he was just a little taller, a little stronger. And or they would, like, even if their kids aren't playing a sport, they would, like, already make a judgment on them. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with it. Because, you know, Michelle and I talk about it all the time. It's like, there's guys I played with that are no bigger than my wife. But they didn't care what anybody else said. And I was on the practice field or in the game. I was like, I'm going to make sure that little guy doesn't knock me out, because they're like, all that matters is what he cares about and how tough he is and how many times he can get up. So like the child that is, you know, his personality is one that they're rambunctious and they're not, you know, they don't cry or run away from that type of rough play. It doesn't matter how tall that person is. That kid can probably play physical sports. Mm-hmm. Because it's just in their value. Like, this is their personality. They enjoy being roughed up.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you definitely had some injuries that I recall when you were playing in the NFL. And you are so resilient. And I'm wondering how you were able to recover. And physically, you know, I know that there's a lot of rehab involved, et cetera. But more mentally, you know, that with that setback, like, how did you come back after those injuries? And how did you get back to a healthy mental state to go back out there?
The mental is very terrible. I mean, like, you're in a forgotten land. When you're injured, you're a starter, you're running out of the tunnel and whatnot, and then you're injured and nobody knows your name. Like you're part of the team, but you're not really part of the team because you're just showing up to get treatment and you go home. So it is huge, but I think because you have played before and tasted the nectar, you want to get back to it. And also, like, I think I'm just wired where I'm inspired by so many other stories of, like, people that run marathons and, you know, when I see firemen run marathons in, like, full gear, or when I see other people in different sports dealing with such severe injuries, I was always inspired. I was like, hey, if they could do it, then I can. What's stopping me? And why not give it my best shot? So I just put everything I could into my training and overcoming these obstacles, and that's it. That's all my focus was. I didn't care what the odds were. If I had a chance, you know, like that, I forget what movie it was, but like, so you're saying there's a chance. That's where I was. That's where I stayed, and I appreciate it so much. I had to get back out there. So I guess that overcame my sense of defeat. Maybe I should walk away and everything. And I had plenty of opportunity to – my last year with the Raiders, we didn't win very many games. And I had every ability, kind of feeling like it's my last year to say, you know what, my hip flexor's torn. I just came off surgery on my peroneals. I had a few other injuries. I needed some surgeries. And I played every down the last game because I wanted to play every down the last game. Maybe like it's you don't get to do it for life. It
sounds like you really, really loved it. Yeah, thinking about those games where maybe you didn't play your best, or you know, if you got off and you feel like you made a mistake or you got negative feedback, how did you bounce back from that? Kind of going back to resiliency, like how did you build up that confidence and you know, your self-esteem after some of those more challenging games?
You have to have short-term memory loss, and I try to do the same thing with every aspect of my life. Is like I can't change that. I can't change that. And there's no shame in it. Like, you're not perfect. Like I find very, like, I don't know. I could ground myself or be humble and say, like, I'm not perfect. I'm very human. I make mistakes and everything. I practice and I prepare and I do everything I can. I try to tell my children this too, is like, there's no such thing as failure. Like, you know, like I tell them, look at their little brother. Like, he's two. Do you think he knows anything? No, daddy. Well, you were him. So you have to learn everything, and when you learn everything, you're going to make mistakes. Calm down. Nobody cares. It's what you think. And that's how I was too, is like I just went with it. I didn't have I guess I had a positive mental attitude, right? Like, mm-hmm. Like I always saw things as like doable, and any type of failures that I had or mistakes or anything, I learned from them, mm-hmm. And then I could not let them affect my next play or my next day or my next team or my next relationship, whatever it was. I had to. If you're not learning in life, you're either getting better or worse, and you're definitely getting worse, in my opinion.
It sounds like you're practicing mindfulness, Tony.
I guess you're forced to, right? Yeah. If you want to, like I said, like you figure it out real quick. You have to have mental ability to succeed, to overcome, to focus. And what does focus mean? You know what? Focus means kind of like trusting in your preparation, trusting in the people you should only be listening to. You shouldn't be reading all the newspapers. You shouldn't be reading all that. Mm-hmm. They don't know you.
And trusting yourself too. Yeah. And kind of going into after you left the NFL, you had talked about when you were kind of in the limelight and, you know, you're running out there, and that I'm sure that felt really good. So how do you come off of that and redefine yourself? And also, you know, talking about optimizing mental health, how do you get into a healthy mental state after you come off of something like playing in the NFL and trying to figure out what to do next? You know, how did you figure that out? Because obviously you're doing some awesome things now.
I think I'm working towards figuring out, like, you're doing something, you're specializing, you're getting your doctorate into something for so many years. Like, who am I? Who am I? I think my dad was asking me the other day, is like, what are you going to do with your life now? And I was like, whoa, I never had this conversation. You know, it's probably something you have when you're 22 with your dad's like, what are you going to do with your degree now? So I guess part of my post-career was like, I like doing a lot of things. What are my hobbies? What are like, where's my value system at? So I tried a different culture that going back to school and everything. And it was, you know, when I was thinking about how should I go back and what area and should I go to business school, these other things, like I probably honestly picked law because it was hard. So I know that is like, I'm not happy. And I don't know if that's why I picked football or football picked me. It's like, I'm not happy if things are just like easier. Like I needed to, like people were trying to tell me, like, why would you go to law school? It's so hard. Go to business school. You can do it online. All these things. And I was like, man, you're not really appealing to me by saying it's hard. That makes me want to do it more. I tell the girls that too. It's like, we do things because they're hard. Don't do the easy things. You're never going to, you know. So I like that challenge of it. And by going to law school and everything, then I learned a little bit more myself. Am I the type of person, personality that could be a lawyer like that? I don't know. I don't think so. But then I, by going into another area and being in the areas where I'm not comfortable at all, the bar exam would hit every mental weakness of mine. It's the most uncomfortable thing. But by doing that, I also learn my strengths and weaknesses. There's no failure, right? You heard me say that. So I got to learn why I was successful in football and what it is about that culture and what is it about the why I succeeded there. You really learn a lot, like why you love that life and why you succeeded at that by trying things you've never been a part of. And so I'm still discovering, but I'm also not scared to find out who I am and not scared to take a big leap. I don't care. Like, you know, I think I would take any job, honestly, just because I had never had a job. So I play football. You know, I didn't consider it a job. It was so cool. Like it is a job, obviously, and if there's many times where it may feel like one, but like I feel like my parents had jobs. Like again, theirs were painful.
Yeah.
Whereas mine was reward, a lot of reward. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Am I making sense?
You are making sense, and I think what you're saying, I agree with. And I think to be successful, a lot of times you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You have to put yourself out there. And I think what holds a lot of people back is fear and fear of judgment, fear of failure. And really, if you want to achieve your dreams, whatever it may be, you have to believe it's possible and you have to be willing to put yourself in those situations where you are still maybe working on building your confidence. You know, maybe you're out of your comfort zone, but it sounds like you've done that. And that's amazing.
I'm glad you brought up fear because, you know, especially in football and these sports, like, you know, one of the things that, like, you always hear is, like, having no fear, no fear. I always think, like, fear is an amazing motivator. And I had fear of failure that drove me every offseason, late night. I didn't want to be embarrassed or fail. I had that type of fear. Did I fear, like, somebody was going to, like, you know, physically do this like video game type of kill shot? No, I didn't have that. I had fear of failure. I had fear of letting down my teammates. I had fear of being exposed. I had fear of looking unprepared. I'm being feared of people calling me like all sorts of things. Fear, like if you don't have fear, how are you motivated? Right? And I'm not using fear as a negative kind. Like if you don't have fear of falling, you know, like, how are you going to watch the road and not trip and all these other, like, you know, you have to have these fears. So I try to tell young people, it's like, it's a good thing that you're nervous. Don't let it cripple you now.
Still go for it. Yeah.
So now we need to prepare because that fear can get better and you can use that fear in your preparation to be amazing. And then you're going to be successful if you get some guys, taste the nectar. And then once you do that, you're going to go back and continue to prepare and do positive things. But the fear, I think I need players, the fear, because if you fear, you care. You care. We need to care what.
Right. I think with all of this, too, it depends on your support, your family, your friends, your community. Because if you have gotten negative feedback or if you're in an environment where you don't have those good coaches or you don't have those mentors, you know, maybe all you're hearing are negative things about yourself, it can cause a lot of fear. And I think having, you know, teachers and mentors and friends and communities and whatever it may be that help you believe that your dreams are possible, it's so important.
There has to be a strong, independent, at least one voice that could guide you. And I think for the most part, there's a lot of common denominators amongst, like, we're a very diverse group in the NFL. And I think one of the most common denominators across all of us is that we all had, we're all mama's boys.
Huh.
We all have strong, independent moms that really were like aggressive disciplinarians, but also so loving and caring.
Mm-hmm.
And they stood out, and there was somebody that like that helped us with that fear, or that we fought for. Like, you know, a big part of like why I enjoyed playing football and doing good was like to reward my parents. I felt like they sacrificed a lot, and I wanted to give back to them. And that's before I ever thought I'd be in the NFL. I was just like, man, if I could get all conference, that'd be so cool for my parents.
Yeah.
I didn't want it for myself. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I guess I'm just, I just wanted to do things for them. But like, we all had like somebody, and I agree, like mindfulness for my life, probably for a lot of people, has more to do with just me. It's mm-hmm. what's coming in, what I'm allowing in.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's everything's negative work environment, I've been in negative work environments. They're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible. You can't even see that it's sunny out when it's negative work environment. Everything's clouded. It's a horrible place to be in. So you have to check yourself and humble yourself, or I think go up to 30,000 feet and really do some brutally honest self-evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And I also find, I think maybe a lot of people don't like this, or it's intimidating, that like everywhere you are at today in life, it's because of your choices and decisions. Very rarely, right? Like tragedies or stuff like that. You know, I look at my parents, like they had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I find like, if that's true, then I could also get myself out of these situations. So if I'm in a negative work environment, I need to get out. I need to find something. I'm going to sacrifice this because I need to be happy first.
Mm-hmm.
And happy, a lot of times, the negative work and the negative aspect about it is like, you're just not doing what you love. It doesn't mean you have employers or colleagues that are awful. You're not in a field or something that is hitting your value system.
Yeah. You're not connected to it. Yeah.
It's not what you're aligned with. And you have to be brutally honest with you. Be specific. What do you want? What do you enjoy doing? What's good for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I do that, and I find areas that I really get passionate behind, and you know, I set little goals and I get out and I feel confident, like, man, I could change my life tonight. And I'm going to, because I know it's going to be bad if I don't.
And you believe in yourself. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you too, with all these different accomplishments that you've had and the different paths that you've taken. And, you know, you've traveled a lot and, you know, you interned at the White House. And how did you manage that with your family? You know, I think that's always a balancing act, right? Like home, work. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think Michelle has to get credit, and I think I'm with Michelle because she's like, we share the same values in that she's very passionate, she's very caring and selfless, and that helps.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle's very independent too. We both are. We're the exact same person. Now it's funny because it's Beauty and the Beast, right? She's 5'4", I'm a big ogre. I get it, but the reason why I fell in love with her and the reason why it all works is because everybody in my inner circle, including my wife, is, you know, my peers are a lot of the same person I am. So Michelle's able to help with that, and she doesn't need me 24/7. She's very supportive. I'm very supportive of her, and we take it one day at a time. I think I just told somebody who was in a long distance relationship that, well, they said they might break up, or they're going to break up. Well, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to take jobs in this different area. I was like, you know what? If long distance, you're looking too far ahead, trying to plan the perfect life. How do you do that? I ask people. Like, I dated Michelle within like 6 months. I was drafted and gone.
Yeah.
Like, I never broke up with her. Why? Who cares? Let's see if it works. Like, if it doesn't work, we'll find out quick anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough, these long distances, but like you find yourself and everything. So it's one day at a time, and then, you know, finding those right people and surrounding yourself, you know, your peers and obviously people mm-hmm. around you is a reflection of you. Whether it's your conscious or subconscious personality, it's going to be reflected in who you like hanging out with and what you like doing,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. So
yeah, that's great, Tony. You know, we are coming to a close. Anything else you want to say before we end?
I forgot in my review if I talked about how awesome your voice is. Like, I heard your opening, and I was thinking to myself, like, And I said this to Michelle when I first heard you, is like, and this is a compliment to you, but like your voice, when it comes to like, so if I'm really looking for help, positive, mental health and all that stuff, and I could, you know, I'm driving my car, I'm stressed out and everything, your voice, I was like, I wanted to hear this person talk longer.
Thanks, Tony.
But I'm saying like you're caring, you could tell this person is into this. And then you're so soothing to my ears. So now when I heard you do the opening again, I was like, I remember the first time I heard it. And right, I hadn't said that.
Oh, that's like, really nice.
So I don't know, I was looking at the review. I was like, did I write that in there? I remember I tried to, but I was in a hurry and I wanted to get it done.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. I'm so happy that you agreed to be a guest on my podcast today. You're such a wonderful friend and such an inspiration to so many people. So thank you. And thank you all for tuning in today. You can follow Live Greatly on Instagram at livegreatly_CO and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. You can also learn more about Live Greatly on my website, www.livegreatly.co. And if you like what you heard today, please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you all to awaken your ultimate potential.